Hello, this is Jim and Samantha. We pastor Abundant Life in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is a message from one of our services. We hope it inspires you, we hope it builds your faith, and we hope it helps you in your everyday life. Enjoy the message.
In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everybody say, trust in the Lord. And then he says, notice he says, with all your heart. And then he says, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. Notice this, and he shall direct your what? Paths. So there's a path that we take in this life. God has a path for us that we'll see. But notice he says that you're going to run into situations and times in life where you're going to have multiple paths that's being presented to you. Should I go this way? Should I make this decision? Should I take this course of action? And so the Bible tells us that during those times, we're not left to our own devices. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. So in other words, I have to acknowledge him and seek him for the direction that he wants me to have so I can take the right path. Sometimes we just decide what path we're going to take. Right? That's why he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That implies that sometimes what we do is we acknowledge him on the hard parts, but we don't acknowledge him in all of our ways. You know, because we think in some of our ways, I can figure it out myself. I know how to handle this. Well, the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So that means God can give us direction with how to respond to your wife in the right path. In the right way, how to respond to your husband, how to have a conversation with your kids, how to deal with the coworker that's getting on your last nerve. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path, right? He can guide us. Decisions we need to make about our career, he wants to guide us and lead us. But it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, which means I need to look to him. And then it says, he shall direct our path. There's no stronger assertion you can have. He shall direct our path. If you do your part, God's going to do his. And so he says, he will direct our path. Everybody say, he is directing my path. And in Psalms 27 and verse 11 in the New Living Translation, and just mainly noticing how many times the Bible talks about the path or the right path or the wrong path. It says in Psalms 27, verse 11, New Living Translation, teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path. Everybody say right path. If there's a right path, there's a wrong path, right? But he said, teach me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. And then Psalms 119, verse 35, Psalms 119, verse 35, New Living Translation, it says, make me walk according to the path of your commands. For that is where my happiness is found. So in other words, there's a path I can take that may produce temporary happiness, but it's not going to produce long-term happiness. But if I follow God's path, it says that is where my happiness is found. You know, there's times where we've been right in the middle of the will of God, and there's been some times we've been close to the middle of the will of God. But when you're in the middle of the will of God, even though you may have challenges, even though you may have tests, you live with a peace and a contentment knowing I'm where I'm supposed to be. And when I am where I'm supposed to be, then I know God is working on my behalf to bring favor, direction, help, guidance, and all those things. So I have a contentment, I have a peace knowing I'm in the right place. Amen. And so notice in all three of these passages, he talks about he'll direct our path, lead me along the right path. I want to walk according to your path, right? So we see a couple of things. First of all, God has a path that he wants us to take. Everybody say, God has a path for my life. And then we also understand that God presents the path, but we have to choose the path, right? God gives us a choice. We must choose to follow God's path. And then the thing that I really wanted to deposit into your heart this morning is this idea from God's word that his path, he has a path, but his path is not always easy. Now, it would be nice to preach, hey, if you get on the path, you're not going to have any more problems. But that's not the case. Now, there is good news to it, and we'll talk about that. But his path is not always easy. Sometimes the path is difficult, arduous, and even hard at times. And so the title of my message this morning is, what to do when the path is hard? How do you handle it when the path is difficult. My family and I, well, actually, I say my family, it was really me and Andrew, because it was more of a guy flick. There was lots of shooting and violence and killing, right? But it was a military movie. And so we watched it, and basically they had selected a couple of individuals for this elite military team. And it's very prestigious for you to be able to get in it, and many people didn't get in it. And so basically the ones that got in it had to go through this difficult obstacle course and path. And during the course, it showed them going through different parts of it. And then I went through this part, and guess what? Some of them dropped out. I ain't doing this. Some of them just stopped. Some of them quit. Some of them were like, no, it's not worth it. So it's what they said is, when it got difficult, I'm taking another path, right? But the main character that was in there, he stayed consistent, stayed faithful. There was a time where it didn't look like he was going to make it, but he made it through. And so he became part of that elite unit. And so the thing is that for him to get to that point of being one of the elite and getting that badge on his uniform, right, he had to go through the path, and the path was not easy. And sometimes as we go through life, we're going to face difficulties, challenges, tests, temptations that come across our path. But God wants us to remain faithful in the midst of adversity. And I want to tell you, I'm really excited to share something with you. Let's go to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. God has a path he wants us to take, but he never promised us a problem-free path. God has a life that he wants us to live, but he never promised us a problem-free life. God did promise that if we follow his path, it will get brighter and brighter. One of the verses we looked at is the fact that when we stay on his path, it will get brighter and brighter. But just because the Bible says it's going to get brighter and brighter, that symbolizes that as if I stay on God's path, it doesn't mean there's not going to be challenge and difficulty and dark moments. But it does mean that if I stay on the path, it's going to get brighter, it's going to get brighter, it's going to get brighter. It's what the Bible says. But sometimes because we read it's going to get brighter, and all of a sudden we don't think that, we think, well, there's never going to have any difficulties, never going to have any challenges, never going to have any dark moments. No, that's not what he's saying. And one of the most popular verses in the entire Bible teaches what I'm exactly communicating to you today, and that's Psalms 23. Notice what the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this passage, you know, there's a lot of good parts that I like to focus on, right? For instance, when you start looking at it, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen to that, right? The Bible says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Amen to that. He restores my soul. Amen to that. But then it goes on and communicates something else. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Wait. I don't want to be going through the valley of the shadow of death, right? I didn't sign up for that deal. What happened to the green pastures? Right? But he says, I'm taking you through the valley of the shadow of death. When I go through that, I know you're with me. Okay? And so that communicates to us. And then he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, if you had your choice, you wouldn't even be close to your enemies. All right? But he's saying we got a valley of death that we're going to go through. There's going to be situations where we have adversity and challenge. But we see from this, God never promised us a problem-free life. He didn't say, if you follow me, you're going to flow through life on flowery beds of ease. But he said that we would go through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, there's a couple of important points. God told us that he's going to bless us. He's going to prosper us. He always gives us the victory. We're created more than a conqueror through Christ. So all those are realities. But those realities don't take away from the fact that there's challenges, there's tests, there are opportunities that's going to test our faith in the midst of getting to those moments. So let me say it like this. The blessing and the favor is a mountaintop experiences, okay? But sometimes to get to the mountaintop, he's going to take you through the valley to get to the mountaintop. And the thing is, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. In other words, we're going to go through it, but do not stop in it. He said, yea, though I go through. I mean, I ain't stopping here. There was one time my wife and I and our kids were really small. We were traveling to visit some friends, and we happened to go through a certain city in the United States that was very well known for not being a very safe place. And so you're cruising through this town, and all of a sudden, you know, you see some people on the side of the street, and they're eyeballing you, and you got wrought iron gates on all the businesses when you go by. And you know what your first thought is? Don't stop. Keep rolling, right? Just keep on going through. Well, that's what the Bible says here. Yea, though I walk through, everybody say through. Through the valley of the shadow of death. See, God takes us through some difficulties, but he brings us to a place of abundance, provision, supply, the mountaintop experiences. But sometimes we think we're never going to have to go through those difficulties, but that's not what the Bible teaches, right? Now, notice he says, you'll go through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't stop. He will lead us to victory, success, blessing, deliverance, peace, and safety, and favor, and influence. But sometimes there's challenges along the way. And he says, I will fear no evil. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Listen to this, because you are with me. So even going through the difficult places, God is with us. And then he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So we have his resources available to us in the midst of the problem. You know, you can look at this concept all through the scripture, but even when God brought the children of Israel out and he promised to bring them into the promised land, they still went through the wilderness. Now, sometimes people could say, well, it wasn't God's plan for them to go through the wilderness. Well, yeah, it was. It wasn't his plan for them to take 40 years. If you look at the map, it should have taken about 2 weeks. So they were supposed to go through, but because they didn't respond correctly, they ended up having to be in the wilderness longer than God intended. Whew. So we got to trust him and keep marching despite the challenges. We got to not complain. We got to not question, but we got to continue to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that he's with me in the midst of the test. His resources are available to me as I go through whatever I face in life. He'll bring us through. He'll bring us out. He'll bring us into these green pastures. Following God's plan does not prevent all problems and challenges from coming your way, but following his plan will make sure they don't become permanent. Right? So following God's plan doesn't mean you're not going to have any more problems, but it does mean that the problems don't become permanent. Right? In other words, I'm not stopping. I'm going to keep on marching. Tell your neighbor, I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping. Now, there are many verses in the Bible that talk about the challenges we encounter, but it's important to remember. Why do we even have to talk about this? Well, first of all, we live in a fallen world. You know, the world as it is right now is not how God originally created it. There was no sin in the world. Sin came because of man's choices, but that was not God's original intent or design. And so we live in a fallen world. Now, it won't be fallen forever, right? But currently we live in a fallen world that's been marred by sin. And then we also have an enemy that works to try to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, but the reality is Satan still has access to try to cause problems in people's lives. And then also people can yield to the flesh and the enemy and cause problems. So in other words, I can do everything right, but sometimes somebody else is doing something wrong that messes with me. Right? And so those are some of the reasons that we can face adversity. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. It's important for us to remember what God says about us. Romans 8, 29 from the New Living, it says, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son." So you were created to become like him. "He created us to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory." Notice verse 31. "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us?" Who can ever be against us? Amen. We can say it like this: if God is for us, it doesn't matter who or what is against us, right? Nothing else matters. Now, what does the Bible say about difficulty and challenge? Psalms 34, verse 19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." How many? Now, I wish I could say the righteous will not have any afflictions or tests or trials. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. In other words, when I'm following the right path, sometimes I'm going to encounter some afflictions. But the good news is many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver us from them all. He will deliver us from them all. I like the New Living Translation. It says, "For the righteous person faces many troubles." Listen to that. "The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time." Amen. So God cares about what we're going through, but we have to turn to him in the midst of it. And, you know, there's many Bible examples, but one that comes to mind, of course, is Joseph. Joseph was on God's path for his life. He had a call in his life. He's called to deliver his children and his people. But what happened when he was on the path? Well, first of all, his brothers were jealous and sold him into slavery. So we could say he had major family problems. I mean, if your brothers are trying to kill you and sell you into slavery, that's kind of a problem. So then he gets in and he's sold into slavery. And so then he rises in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife tries to have sex with him. He declines her. And then he gets thrown in prison for telling the truth and resisting the temptation in the flesh. So how many of you know he could have, if he didn't realize many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord's delivering me from them all, he could have some feelings about that. But he knew that God was not his problem. He knew that this was just a stone he was going to have to step over in the path that God had for his life. And so he gets into prison. And the Bible says, because of who he was and how he lived and his relationship with God, the Bible says that God prospered him in the prison so that the prison warden put him in charge of everything in the prison. How many of you know when God's inside of you and you let him out, it'll cause you to rise to the top. It doesn't matter where you're at. And so all of a sudden now he's promoted. And then, you know, the Pharaoh gets mad with a couple of his servants, puts them in prison. Joseph has a dream, interprets the dream. It comes to pass, and he's forgotten again. There's so many situations we can look at in his life where it looked like it was dark in the moment. The path was not right. What's going on? What's the problem? But no, there was challenges on the way. There was adversity on the way, but God had a plan to bring him through the valley of the shadow of death onto the mountaintop of promotion, to where he could influence lives. He had the blessing and favor of God on his life, and he could fulfill God's purpose for his life. See, Satan or people cannot stop what God wants to do in your life if you refuse to quit and have the right attitude. Amen? Now, what do we do? Let me give you some things that we can, some tips when the path is hard. What to do when the path is challenging, difficult, or hard? I'll write this one down. Remember that a hard path does not always mean a wrong path. A hard path does not always mean a wrong path. If you're facing a challenge, it's a good time to pray and check your own heart. So anytime we face adversity in our life, you know, you always want to have introspection. So in other words, if I'm facing something, then I look at myself first. You know, sometimes people look at everything else because they have no concept that they could be the problem. But I look at myself and say, is there something that I've done that I need to repent of? Is there something I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not doing? I look at myself, okay? But here's the thing about God is that God, if you want to know, God will reveal it to you. If there's something you're doing, you're not going to be ignorant of it if you want to know. God will reveal it to you. He's not trying to hold anything back to you. So if you have a heart that says, Lord, you want to live right before God, and Lord, is there anything that I've done that has opened the door for the enemy to cause problems in my life? Is there something I need to be doing? Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? And you can have full contentment that you are. Sometimes he may deal with you about something. Yeah, you need to correct this. Yeah, you need to repent. Yeah, you need to forgive. Yeah, you're supposed to be doing this. Okay? But you just make the adjustment. As easy as it was, you remember the prodigal son? What did he do to get back on the path? He just repented. He says, I've been stupid. And then he went back to his father's house. And what happened? He was restored. So if you get off the path, get back on. But now, sometimes we are doing what's right. It's not that we're perfect, but there's nothing that we've done that's caused a problem. Let me say this. This is going to be profound revelation. There's two times in life when you're going to face challenges and difficulties, only two times, when you're doing something wrong and when you're doing something right. That's important to understand because that means that just because the path is hard doesn't mean the path is wrong. Let me give you an example. Jesus encountered a storm when he was traveling to preach the gospel. Jesus didn't sin. Jesus was not on the wrong path, but a storm came because he was doing something right. So a hard path doesn't necessarily mean a wrong path. So what did he do? He got up and rebuked the storm. First of all, the disciples were freaking out. Lord, don't you care? We're going to die. He's like, man, why y'all wake me up? I'm sleeping. Then he rebukes the storm and stops. Then he rebukes them. Why don't y'all have any faith? Y'all should have took care of this. Right? So he didn't do anything wrong. Well, that's not always the case. There was another storm with a man named Jonah. But God told Jonah, go preach to Nineveh. Nineveh was an oppressive nation to the children of Israel. So Jonah, being a prophet, said, I don't want to go preach to them. I know you're a compassionate God, and I don't want you to have compassion on them. So instead of going to Tarshish, or instead of going to Nineveh, I'm going the other direction. And when you look at a map, God said, go this way. Jonah went this way. It wasn't off just a little bit. It was the exact opposite direction, a long way away. So in other words, God said, this is the path. And Jonah says, that's great. This is mine. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, he gets on a boat, and another storm comes. But that storm did not come because he did something right. That storm came because he was in the wrong place. Now, he couldn't get up and rebuke that storm. You could rebuke until you're blue in the face, but that storm's not stopping because the solution to that storm is not rebuke, but repentance. And so they threw him overboard, got swallowed. He repented in the fish's mouth. And then now restoration takes place. The good news about God is if we have an obedience storm, then we rebuke it and stay steady. If we have a disobedience storm, then we repent. But in either case, God puts us back in the place we need to be. And he'll bring us through. Okay? So remember, just because it's hard doesn't mean it's wrong. Amen? Now, as I said, I really want you to get to the fact that if you want to know, God will tell you. Amen. I believe it was Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. So in other words, do I look to myself first, right? But then if I have a clear heart and God's not revealing anything to me, then I just need to stay faithful, stay consistent, be unmoving, and continue to follow the path. The Bible also talks about people that face difficulty doing the right thing. How many of you know Noah? Well, he obeyed God and built the ark, but they were picking on him the whole time he's building that ark. What you building that ark for? Moses, he was ridiculed and faced difficulties when he went to Pharaoh. The Apostle Paul, the Bible talks about he had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, which was really the form of intense persecution. So he was following God's path for his life, but he faced intense persecution along the way. All these guys were following the path. How about Jesus? Jesus followed the path, but it led to the cross. Now, thank God we don't have to go to the cross like that, right? And we have to take up our cross daily and follow him. So in other words, if we need to be resolved, we don't need to interpret difficulties as deviations from the divine path, right? We could be exactly where God wants us to be. And if that's the case, then we need to say, Lord, if you call me to it, then I'm going to walk through it. Amen. And then number two, we need to stay steady and choose obedience. So number one, remember the hard path doesn't necessarily mean the wrong path. Number two, stay steady and choose obedience. Obedience is initiated when you start, but it's revealed when you finish. Obedience is initiated when you start, but it's revealed when you finish. We can all have moments when we're tired of fighting, tired of trying, tired of responding the right way. However, it is during those exact moments that our obedience is revealed the most. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good. God would never say, don't do weary while doing good if we would have a temptation to grow weary while doing good. He said, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. So in other words, you might not see the harvest right now, but if you stay faithful, if you stay consistent, then you're going to reap. There's going to be blessings. You're going to come out. You're going to come through. But don't be discouraged in the midst of it. Hebrews 12:1 talks about running our race with endurance. That means sometimes we're going to get tired running the race. But he said, run with endurance. Keep pressing on. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. So we need to be steadfast, immovable. What does immovable mean? It means that when you're planted, nothing is going to knock you around. When you are planted in God's word, when you're committed to God's plan, it doesn't matter what blows against me. I'm not going this way. I'm not going that way because my roots are deep and my roots are strong. I may move a little bit. Sometimes we see big trees and the leaves may move and we say the wind's bad, but that tree that has deep roots and is strong, it's not going anywhere. I remember one time I was playing basketball and you appreciate this, but I played with the guy that played in the Canadian Football League. And so this guy was huge. I mean, he was like 6'5", 300 something pounds. And Pastor Jim was playing basketball with him. And Pastor Jim was probably a few pounds lighter back then. And so this guy comes around and all of a sudden he sets a pick. And I thought to myself, I'm used to playing with the high school guys, not with a professional football player. And so I thought to myself, he's setting a moving pick. I'm going to run through this dude. So I hit this dude. He didn't move. But I ended up on the ground over there, right? He was immovable, but I was not, right? Because he was definitely grounded, right? Well, the Bible tells us to be grounded, and we can be strong in the Lord so that the adversity does not blow us around. Amen? We can be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. And then James 1:12 says, blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life. Over and over, the Bible tells us as we stay on the path, there's blessings, there's favor, there's deliverance, there's help if we stay on the right path. I remember Pastor Hagin, he wrote a book and it said, I cannot quit, I will not quit, and I cannot be defeated. right? But that's having that mentality. We need to stay anchored when the winds of adversity blow. Now, there was a movie, and they did a remake, but the original one was called Twister, and then I think they did a remake called Twisters. Well, I think in the original movie, Twisters, in one scene in that movie, what they did is they had scientists that were kind of, you know, chase tornadoes. You got to be a special person to do that. And so they're chasing these tornadoes to observe them so they can understand them so that they can prevent them in the future or help people have better warning systems. And so so they had to get really close to them. When one scene in the movie, they got too close and there's no way they could get out. So they realized there's a good chance we're going to be swept away. So they started looking at everything and there was nothing that they could find that was steady enough to hold them. And so at the last minute, they found this underground huge pipe that was underground. And so what they did is they tied themselves to this pipe. And so all of a sudden, now the tornado comes through and it's blowing the barn away. It's blowing everything around them away. And there's a scene in the movie that was very intense where they're tied to this pipe that's grounded. They're being lifted in the air. The rope is holding them down, but they're not being sucked away because they're grounded. And that's exactly what God is saying to us, is that there's times in life when we're going to face some intense winds, some storms that come our way. But if we are grounded, we might be lifted up, but we ain't going nowhere. Because we're steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It doesn't matter the type of challenge that comes my way. I'm grounded and I can trust Him. And I can stay steady in the adversity because I'm grounded. And that leads me to my last point this morning. And that is anchor your life before the winds blow. In other words, when you face the difficulty or challenge, that's not the time to try to get you grounding. We need to have a grounding before the winds blow. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. The Bible says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was very great." You know, when I look at this passage, I think of a couple of things. First of all, storms reveal the strength of your foundation. Storms reveal whether your foundation is strong or weak. And just breaking it down, storms reveal whether your faith is steadfast or flimsy. Right? You ever tried to tie something and you use something, and maybe one time we were tying something, it was some old, really old string. And so we went to lift it up and pew, it just broke, right? Because it was deteriorated. It wasn't strong. Well, what kind of faith do we have? Is it strong, right? Does it crack under just a little bit of pressure? And sometimes those storms reveal hidden fears. Sometimes those storms reveal cracks in our character, right? So what can we do? We'll talk about what can we do to build that foundation. But when I build that foundation and the storms come, then all of a sudden I can have convictions that will not be moved. It's like that pipe I was talking about, it was cemented in. So you can have character that is solid. It's not going anywhere. You can have faith that's not going to be moved. You can have endurance. You can have persistence so that you don't quit. Amen. You can have character that's not shaken, not flawed. And Jesus taught us a valuable lesson about this passage. Storms don't destroy a life that's built on obedience. Storms don't destroy a life that's built on obedience. It reveals the strength. Storms reveal the strength. Now, how do we anchor our life and develop a strong foundation? Number one is stay in the Word. How many of you know the Word provides a solid foundation for us? It will strengthen us. It will help us. You know, when the enemy came to Jesus, he responded by saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written." But his Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, so it will help us stay steady when I remember what God says. You know, there's a verse to talk about, you know, not looking at the temporary afflictions that we're going through. One translation says, don't consider these things because they are small potatoes, right, compared to what God has in store for us. So get his Word inside of us so you can stand on his Word, right? And then number two, being consistent in prayer, developing a consistent prayer life. You know, when I'm fellowshipping with the Father on a daily basis, then I can bring those things to him. Lord, thank you for your strength. Thank you that you're ever with me. That even though I'm going through a challenge right now, you're with me. You comfort me. Your Word is my guide. The Holy Spirit is my strength. He's my helper, right? Developing your prayer life. And then this is a big one, but staying in community, right? Being around other believers that can encourage us, strengthen us, pray for us. We're all heading in the right direction. And then remembering to stay obedient, right? When the adversity came, that's really when my foundation is going to be revealed. Am I going to be consistent? See, it's easy to be obedient in good times, but can I be obedient in challenging times? Can I be obedient in difficult times? Can I be obedient when I'm tired? Can I be obedient when I'm frustrated, right? And then staying planted. In other words, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to be shaken, right? See, you know, I'm not a botanist or a person that likes to, I work in the yard because I have to, not because I have any enjoyment in doing so, right? But one of the things about it, I mean, my wife is good. She has plants and she likes that stuff. That brings a smile to her face. And having her smile on her face brings a smile on my face. So it's good. But the thing is that she knows, and any person that does that type of gardening knows, you don't plant it and then dig it up and move it again and again and again and again. You plant it and leave it so that the roots can grow down, so it can get strength, so it can develop its foundation in a sense. And so when I work on myself and I become planted, then it doesn't matter what type of storms blow against me or blow this way, I'm planted. And let me end on this last verse in Psalms 92, verse 13. Psalms 92, verse 13. The Bible says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Those who are what? Planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That means as I stay planted, God's going to cause me to bring forth fruit. God's going to cause me to flourish. And we also said Galatians 6, 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we don't lose heart. So God is saying, yes, there'll be some challenging times come in life. But if you'll stay steady, if you'll stay true, if you'll stay faithful, I'll bless you, I'll bring you out, and I'll promote you. Amen?
Thanks for joining us. We encourage you to share this message with your family and friends. Please check us out on our website at abundantchurch.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.